join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Sorry, I've been looking at this water for the last 5 minutes. I'm dying. Well, we are, as Pastor said, we are doing our bodybuilding series now, talking about the motivational gifts. And my dad did a great job at starting us off with that, and Pastor did a great job last week. If this is your first time to be a part of this teaching, in your notes, the first page, 2 pages, that's for you. That just kind of gives a foundation, lets you know where we're at and what everything is, and just kind of lays that foundation. Because I didn't want you to be kind of lost. I want you to be involved with everything. So don't, not while I'm up here doing all this, don't go through all that, but take it home, study it for yourself, and see what the Lord shows you, okay? How are y'all doing tonight?
Good.
I guess I could be an extrovert because I like people talking to me. So whenever y'all just feel, just whatever, if I say something great, profound, just say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. See? That's nice. Well, tonight I have the great honor and opportunity to speak about prophecy and teaching. Now, when my dad was laying the foundation for all the motivational gifts, he labeled this perceiver, which I think is a great way to label that, because the motivational gift is more of how you receive what you're seeing and what you're hearing, more of how you use that, not really just the gift of speaking it. That's something different. That's the manifestation gift, the spiritual gift. That's totally different. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Tonight, what we're talking about is purely how you receive that information and how your personality handles that. But tonight, I'm going to call it prophecy, if that's all right with y'all. I'm going to call it prophecy and prophetic or prophetic personality. Not multiple personality. Amen. Prophetic personality. It's a little different. Even though we do know much about multiple personalities here at Dominion. But anyway. No. So that's what I'm going to be calling it tonight, is prophecy and the prophetic personality. But I do want to lay a little foundation on prophecy real quick, just because in my mind, maybe because I do have kind of the more prophetic personality, I see a great weight on emphasis on prophecy in the Word. Because if you look at these three gifts, and it's on your first page there, we have the motivational gifts, the ministry gifts, and the manifestation gifts. The first one on motivational is prophecy. The second one in ministry is prophets. The fourth one on manifestations is, again, prophecy. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit later why I think that that is interwoven in, is that a word, interwoven? It's in there. It's in there. This is a great pulpit, isn't it? I love it. But it's in there somewhere. It's in there in the Bible, I promise you. Go home and read it. But I'll explain that a little bit later. But my definition of prophecy, now when a lot of people think prophecy, they think foretelling the future. Next Thursday at 8 p.m., in the second day of the third month, you shall have a child. I don't know. But that's what a lot of people think of prophecy. They think people coming in, reading your mail, getting in your business, and saying, hey, this is what you've been doing. Don't do this anymore. That's not really what I believe and what I see in as prophecy. My definition of prophecy is this. It's sharing the heart and thoughts of God about a person to that person. Okay, let me say that again. It's sharing the heart of God and the thoughts of God about a person to a person. Now, whenever I've prophesied, it's typically, like a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to pray over and prophesy over some of our young adults. We had a young adults service here. It went great. We had the opportunity to pray over some of them, and we were praying over one person, and it pretty much went like this. It was, The Lord has seen where you've been. He knows that you have been asking questions. You've been seeing that you've kind of been looked over. But the Lord's saying that he's got a spotlight right on you. He's looking right at you. And so that's kind of what I would consider prophecy, is more of, this is what God's heart is about you. This is, it's not, you're going to die in 4 days. That's not it. Prophecy is purely God's heart being conveyed to you. But it's also knowing things that you shouldn't know without the help of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So use that as our foundation as we talk about prophecy. Let me read Romans 12, 4 through 8 real quick. This is just the foundation for the motivational gifts. Verse 4, chapter 12 in Romans says this, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, man, I love that part, but we can't stay there. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, before we get into this, let's pray real quick. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord, as your body. Lord, we thank you that you are going to reveal to us where we belong, who we are in you, and the gifts you've put in us. Lord, I pray that you will reveal us not only our own motivational gifts, but how to use those. Lord, because your word says that faith without works is dead, and the same gifts that you've put in us without having used them, Lord, they're of no good. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal to us what you want to say. Speak clearly through me, and I pray that our ears would be open. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's start. Prophecy is especially, since is one who is especially sensitive in seeing the will of God and then proclaiming it. It's someone who can walk into a situation and clearly see what the Lord is saying and doing. So let's run through a few points here. Normally when I speak, I have about 3 or 4 points. We have 50 tonight, so let's run through them real fast. You can tell that a teacher put this together. Number one, quickly and accurately identifies good and evil and hates evil. A prophetic person can walk into a group, walk into a place, and they see things as there's no gray. There's not, that's kind of okay, that's kind of not okay. No, for a prophetic person, it is, no, God said this, that's it. There's nothing else. I remember when I was a teenager, I went to a revival in Florida, and I came back and I heard the Lord very clearly. It was the first time I ever really heard the Lord's voice very clearly, and he told me to switch schools. And for me, that was it. That was done. And my parents didn't agree with me till for a while, but because everything was going great. But for me, it was, no, you don't understand. The Lord has spoken, so it's black or white. I need to be in God's will. Which we got there. See people as either in God's will or out of God's will. It's not, well, you know, I'm kind of in his permissive will. I'm kind of over here. Prophetic people tend to see things as, no, you don't want to do that because you're going to be out of God's will, and that's the last place you want to be. They see it a matter of choices. Compromise is not an option. They have an intense hatred for evil, which would be more intensified than hopefully everybody has a hatred for evil. But it's almost like a burning fire. Sees everything as either black or white. There's no grays. It's kind of the same thing. They make decisions easily. They make quick evaluations. Let me just say this real quick. Now, that is, if you are a prophetic person, I'm not saying that you decide if you want to go to Chili's or Taco Bell easily. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about small decisions. I'm talking about like our friends over here who the Lord said, go to Haiti. That's it. That there's decisions made. It's done. There's no second guessing. There's no questioning. It's not, well, we need to get our facts together. We need to do this. How are we going to do this? It's, no, we're done. And I love what he said. The money's not all there yet, but we're going. Does that make sense? That's the way a prophetic person looks at everything that is especially large things. That's what we're doing. This is how it's going to be. Number three, easily perceives the character of individuals and groups. If you've ever said the word, "I didn't like the feel of that group," then there's a strong chance that you're prophetic or that this is your gift. There have been times of where I've been walking through the mall and I've walked into, I'm not going to say the name of the store, but I walk into a certain store and this is, nope, I don't want to walk in there. I don't want to do that. And it's just a clothing store. It's not evil. It's not horrible. It's just, I don't like the feel of it. I don't like how it just feels dirty. It just, yeah. Right. If you want to go in there, that's fine. No problem. Go in there, shop, get whatever you need. Give me a pair of shoes. But I'm not going to go in there. And that's a very prophetic kind of thing. And especially with even people of, you know what, I love that person, but the feel I get around them, I got to put my guard up. I got to be careful. That's typically prophetic people. They're always trying to feel things out. They're always trying to, and I'm not talking about wishy-washy. I'm not talking about, well, you know, let's go over here. I can't believe I just did that. but that's how they are. That's how they feel. We're not recording tonight, are we? Good. But that's how they are. They're not flaky. They're not up and down. They're very much strict. Very much on the path. And let me walk in. Okay, I don't like the way this feels. Either we need to change it, or we need to get out of here. That's how they see that. It says, the next one is go to church. They go to church and or group and can soon tell how spiritual they really are. In other words, they have the ability to see into the real motives and say, you know what, I love this person, but your motives may be off a little bit. God shows them what he wants them to see in addition to what comes with the gift. Number four, encourages repentance that produces good fruit. Prophetic people want to not just say something and then nothing happened with it. They want to say something and then people say, okay, I'm going to grab that. That's the answer I've been looking for. That's their motivation. Wants to see repentance evidenced by life change and new behaviors. They can see when bad roots remain. Number five, believes accepting difficulties produces positive personal growth. Now, while you're taking notes, there is an area there for notes. You can also check them off. I think that'd be a great idea. Just check them off. If you think that's you, that's me. I like that. But write that down. They believe that accepting difficulties produces personal growth. A few months ago, about 8 months ago, I started a new job, and I went straight in as management, which at this company very rarely happens. And so in 8 months, I've had to learn everything about the company. I've had to learn what our procedures are, which have procedures on everything. I've had to learn everything about it, and it's been difficult. But because of my personality, I haven't gotten overwhelmed by it. I've seen it as a challenge of when I fail a little bit here or I fall on my face here and I look stupid here. My personality is, okay, that's the challenge. I'm going to get better. I'm going to accept it. And I'm not going to let it hurt me, but I'm going to get better with it. And that's what a prophetic person does. They see how problems and opportunities are for their benefit. They welcome difficulties that press a person to deal with issues and then overcome. They accept difficulties in their own life and use it to grow. Number six, has a few or no close friends. Yeah, that's me. No, I'm just joking. Now, allow me to say this, and we're going to get to this at the end. That is typically when their personality is out of order with people or themselves or the Lord. Allow me to say that. Does that make sense? Because if a prophetic person has been hurt, then they put up walls. And they don't want people to get close to them. And with a prophetic person, it's very easy for them to hurt people because they're very loud. They're very in people's face. They're very much, oh, you have a fault? Well, great, let's point it out. And I don't know if you know this, most people don't like that. But that's how prophetic people are, because they want to be better. We'll get to that in a second. But we got to be in right relationship with all those things. Number seven, views the Bible as the basis for truth, belief, action, and authority. Allow me to change this a little bit. Not just the Bible, but they believe that the Word of God, whether it is spoken through the Word or whether it's spoken through a prophecy or a word. Like the example that I gave earlier about when the Lord spoke to me about changing schools, that was it for me. There was nothing more. Okay, let's go. Let's jump on it. And my parents had to remind me, no, let's sit back. Let's investigate the school first. Let's see what needs to happen. But a prophetic person, once God speaks, whether through His Word or whether through a prophetic word, which is supported by His Word, then they just want to go. Number seven. Oh, we're still there. Okay. Love to study the Word and how God speaks to them. That's typically because prophetic people, when they prophesy or when they see things, they need to have the Word of God as an underlining in their words. If they're speaking their own words, then there's no power in it. It doesn't matter. But if they like to study the Word so they can say, okay, the Lord is saying this. This scripture goes with that, so that we can have something to go off of. No other dependable basis for truth except the Word. Depends on the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word, 100%. Number eight, boldly operates on spiritual principles. The exact principles from the Word of God to their own lives, often demanding of themselves. They're very, very hard on themselves. Number nine is frank, outspoken, and doesn't mince words. I want to stop here for just a second. Because the prophetic person is somebody who is very much in your face, and they're the type of person that they usually say things like, well, I just am who I am, and I'm just saying the truth. And if people won't get hurt over that, that's on them. That's not really true. That's on you. How you say something is 100% on you. A lot of people think, and this is why I think prophecy has been given a bad name in the last couple of years, it's because prophets think they can come in, speak the Word of God, and be as harsh as they want to, and all they're doing is cutting people up. You can't do that. Clearly, what we read in Romans, the Bible says that they belong to each other. All the different parts belong to each other. And so when you speak over somebody, like if I were to prophesy over someone right here, and I were to, this is what God is saying, and I were to cut them up, what I'm really doing is I'm cutting myself up because we're in the same body. Okay? And so we can't do that. We can't, it's okay to be frank, it's okay to be outspoken, but you've got to have maturity and rein it in. You've got to control it. Just because the word of the Lord may be a little harsh doesn't mean you can't bathe it in love several times before you say it. Does that make sense? Okay. So they are very frank. They speak up when they see an issue. They see what is wrong and challenge it. They can offend others very, very easily. This is kind of the answer to that. They need to learn to see an issue and pray about it. So instead of just getting a word from the Lord or seeing something or feeling something and then just jumping off of it, oh, I'm so excited, I got a word, yay. They need to rein it back a little bit and see what the Lord wants to do. Because I believe that a lot of the times the Lord shows prophetic people something, the majority of that, you just need to pray about it. That's your way to pray for somebody. Does that make sense? That's the Lord saying, okay, this person's going through this. This is where they're going. Then that's where you grab them and say, hey, let's pray about this. Not let's beat you over the head with it. Because all you're doing is destroying people, and that is not what we're here to do. Number 10 is very persuasive in method of speaking. They tend to be right. Thank you. I'm glad Mindy got that. Thank you. Grieves deeply over the sins of others. These are typically, and we'll get to that in a second, they're typically intercessors. When they see something wrong in someone's life, they tend to be grieved very deeply. They tend to mourn, to weep, because they hate to see people outside of God's will. They want to see people thrive. They want to see people exactly where God has them. They will inwardly or perhaps outwardly weep when others are involved in sin. Number 12, is eager to see his own blind spots and help others see their blind spots too. Because this is the way that a prophetic person is, of And I say this all the time. If I'm doing something wrong, please let me know, because if it's wrong, I probably don't see it. Because if I see it, I'm going to fix it, or at least try. And so that's the way prophetic people are, of, hey, let me know. Please, if I can't see something, pull me aside, and in love, let me know. But in the same way, we get excited, and we're like, oh, you have something wrong? Oh, great. Let's talk about it. And people don't like to talk about their sin. People don't like to talk about what's going on in their life sometimes. And so, again, that maturity comes in where you've got to learn how to do that. Number 13, desires above all to see God's plans worked out in all situations. Discerning God's plan, then refuse to let personal desires get in the way. So pretty much what that's saying is they, no matter what they're feeling, no matter what they want, God's word trumps that. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter what I'm feeling. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances may be. God's word says this, and so I believe that. I hope that makes sense. Okay. Number 12, strongly promotes the spiritual growth of groups and individuals. They want to see spiritual growth. If there's no spiritual growth, prophetic people see that as dying. You're either growing or you're dying. You have to keep growing. You have to keep going. It's called to intercession. These are people that are usually would be here on Tuesday nights for our prayer meetings. These are people that that love to pray with people, for people, because that's usually when their gifts are used, when they're praying for somebody and the Lord gives them a word, and then everybody gets excited and they love that. 16, feels the need to verbalize or dramatize what he sees. As you can tell, I am not using a handheld mic because I like to use my hands. I like to, that's what prophetic people do. They like to dramatize. They like to make big deals of things. Usually when I prophesy over someone, when I speak over somebody, the Lord speaks to me through movies, or I'll see images, because that dramatizes, that shows what he's saying in a way other than just the words. Does that make sense? And so they're always trying to come up with some sort of example. Like if you look at the Old Testament, they would see a pot, and we would see a pot, just a normal pot. They would see God stirring things up, stirring his people up. They would see a valley of bones, and all of us would say, oh, look, a valley of bones. And they would see an army. Does that make sense? And so they're always seeing things and trying to make that relate. Number 17, tends to be introspective. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It's usually their prayer. Number 18, has strong opinions and convictions. Number 19, has strict personal standards. And 20, desires to be obedient to God at all costs. Now, the reason that I'm kind of running through all this is because we have 50 things to go over. And so please take this home and study that for yourself. Now, prophetic problem areas. None of us have problem areas, do we? No, not at all. We're great. Number one, problem area, tends to be judgmental and blunt. Like I said, they're the type of people that they feel like they can just say whatever they want, and as long as it's in the right motive, it doesn't matter who it hurts. Because they're not trying to hurt you, they're trying to just be who they are. And so you got to rein that back. These are the people that would usually have what I call foot and mouth disease, where they just don't think, they just speak. And that's great. That's what you want to do. You want to speak. You want to speak what you see, but you've got to have the maturity to rein that back and say, you know what? My motivation needs to not only be to see somebody better, to see somebody see their faults, to see somebody furthered in who they are, but we need to see people loved. We need to see people cultivated. We need to see people grow and not get hurt and then run away from the church. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Because it's very easy for prophetic people to do that. It's very easy for us to take the hammer of the word and hit somebody and then wonder why they don't come to the church anymore. And so we can't just put our foot in our mouth. Jonah. Jonah judged Nineveh and couldn't imagine forgiveness. He was very harsh. For that, prayer is the cure. Instead of just running and just saying whatever you feel, take a second. It's okay. Pray about it. See what the Lord is leading you. Pray love over that word. If the Lord ever shows you something negative, sit back and pray until the Lord turns that into a positive. Because anytime the Lord shows you something that is negative in somebody, it's always so that he can bring a positive to them. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Okay.
That's
good. Thank you. Number two, forgets to praise partial progress due to goal consciousness. Because prophetic people are very, let's get here. We've got to get here. We've got to get in God's will. We've got to do this. And when people make that slow change, it doesn't matter. They're not looking at that slow change. They're looking at, we got to get here. And so you've got to be able to praise partial progress. Number three, they are pushy in trying to get others and groups to mature spiritually. We can't be pushy. Is intolerant of opinions and views that differ from his own. And the last one, they struggle with self-image. Because for them, they feel like what they say is who they are. And if they're not saying anything, or if they feel like, well, what if I miss this? What if I'm not feeling something right? Then they'll shut down completely, and they won't be used in the body at all. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I'm going to come back to the heart of all of that in a second. But let's talk about teachers here in just one second. Let me go over some of some examples of prophetic people. We're going to skip this personality part here. We're going to go straight down to the bottom where it says prophetic people, just so you kind of know what some of the people in the Bible were that were prophetic. John the Baptist, very prophetic. Anna, Mary, Ananias, Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Jonah. If you want to see what the prophetic personality and what the motivation is very much like, study those people because they're very much, very prophetic. Does that make sense? Okay, great. The gift of the teacher. Now, the reason that we're talking about teachers and prophetic in the same night is because those are the two gifts above all of them that would be considered the speaking gifts. Because if your motivational gift is giving, then you can do that in a note, or you can do that anonymously. But these you can't do anonymously. I can't say that word apparently. Hippopotamus. you have to speak these things. If the Lord shows you something, you have the responsibility to say it. And so if the Lord shows you something prophetically, you have to say something, or you're not being used in that arena. As a teacher, you can have the best curriculum all day long, but if nobody uses it, what good is it? So you've got to be able to speak. You've got to be able to use these in that way. And so the teacher loves to give instruction. They love to research things. They may be a writer. And so if you're in this place and you're saying, okay, well, I'm a writer. I love to research things. I just love to grab words. I love to grab books. Then chances are that this is probably your gift. Let's run through these real quick. Number one, presents truth in logical, systematic way. Allow me to use this. When I normally preach, if you take this page and you cut it in half, that's usually my outline. That's usually what I preach off of. Now, my dad came up with a lot of this teaching, and so now we're at 12 pages. and it's all set up that way. It's all set up in word by word, and every word is chosen carefully, and that's great, but that's a teacher. Prophetic people, we just want to go out and just speak and speak from the heart, shoot from the hip. That's us. And the teacher is like, hold on. Let's sit and think about this for a few days. Yeah. Let's see. Let's run through a few of these. They present the truth. They have lots of facts, lots of scripture, and they want to make things easy to find for people. They want things to be thought out. They feel like they're unprepared if they haven't put so many hours into their teaching or into their curriculum. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. That is great. I wish that I could sit down and spend hours on one scripture. That's not me. I can get up and I can spend hours on one scripture and I'll go round and round and round on the same thing. But if I get up and speak it and I begin to talk about it, then that helps me because that's how I get my stuff out. Like I've been walking around my apartment all day long. But if I sat down and tried to write this out, then I wouldn't get anywhere. That's the difference between the teacher. The teacher wants to sit down and focus and study. Number two, they validate truth by checking out facts. A great example is what I was saying about earlier, about how when this prophetic personality came back from a revival and told a teacher, hey, God spoke, let's go to a different school. The teacher wants to sit down and check the price and check all the different things and make sure that they have a good curriculum, make sure they have good teachers, make sure it's in a good area. And the prophetic person just wants to run. They just want to go. But the teacher wants to sit and validate everything. It's not truth until all the facts work out. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Only accept what is based on facts or scriptures. Maybe a doubter until strong fact is shown. Like Thomas. Thomas is a great example of this. He didn't want to believe that Jesus had risen until he had all the facts. And that's probably because he didn't want to get hurt. He probably didn't want to get his hopes up and say, okay, he's alive. Oh, wait, no, he's not. Okay, now I'm devastated. And that's fine. Of course, then you have Peter and John, who the prophetic people, who as soon as they heard something, they ran off. They're gone. But that teacher gift wants all the evidence. They want everything, and then they can put together what's truth and what's not. Three, loves to do research, loves to study. They want to be accurate. They want, is that how you say accurate?
Accurate.
I'm saying it like George Bush, aren't I? Accurate. That was left field. Okay. They want to be complete. They enjoy study. They enjoy sitting down and reading books and they love when they can put this scripture that they read 3 hours ago with this scripture and now it all comes together and they have that patience. They have patience like nobody else because they want to sit and they want to study as where someone like me wants to get up and party, but that's anyway. Has large personal libraries. If you've ever been to my parents' house, my dad has one whole room, nothing but books. And that's great. And I want one of those, but I wouldn't read any of the books. Has anybody ever seen the old Dr. Doolittle movies, where he has that big library and he has that ladder that kind of rolls and all that? I've always wanted that, but I would be like, I could say I've read all these books, but I probably haven't even picked up one of them. But that's the teacher. The teacher loves books, loves study, enjoy word studies. They're fascinated with words. They're usually the people that will take a root word and will just go for days. And they will take just one little thing in the Greek or the Hebrew, and they will come up with a whole teaching on it. And that's great. One word may lead to hours and hours of study. One word. That makes no sense to me. But I'm glad we have those people. Number five, prefers to use biblical illustrations rather than life illustrations. Because for them, their motivation is they want the facts, they want the truth. And so what is in the Bible is 100% truth. What you may have been through may not be. You may have stumbled, you may have, or even in their own life, they don't like using their examples because they may have stumbled here, they may have done this, they may have done this wrong, and they want it to be 100% correct. Now, the best way for me to explain this is my dad's always showing me stuff like that, showing me different ways to look at the Word. And I remember one time we were having a heated discussion about how every word in the Bible is 100% true. My dad said, no, hold on. If you read Job, there's a lot of what his friends say that is truly written. It's really written down. But what they say is false. It's not right. Because they're saying that you deserve what you get. God is angry at you. They say all these horrible things about Job, and they really said those things, but those are false. Those statements are false. And so that's kind of how they see their own life experiences or life experience of others. There may be things that are truthful, but there are also things in your own life experience that may be incorrect or not 100% factual or anything like that. And so that's why they don't like doing that. They quote liberally from the Bible, use biblical illustrations rather than stories. Life illustrations are not the authority. They see the Word of God, that's it. There's nothing else to be taught. Gets upset when Scripture, number six, gets upset when Scripture is used out of context. You see, am I past 8 o'clock yet? Oh, dear Lord. Okay. They get upset when Scriptures are used out of context. Number seven, they feel concerned the truth, that the truth to be established in every situation. Number eight, is more objective than subjective. And since I don't know what those words mean, we're going to go on to number nine. Easily develops and uses a large vocabulary. Thank you. Thank you. They use words well and don't skip over them when they don't know what they mean. They like word games because they like figuring things out. They like getting deep into things. They're good communicators, typically. They emphasize facts and actual and accuracy of words. Number 11, they check out the source of knowledge for others who teach. Teachers are usually the ones who, and they can offend people in this. They're not trying to, but they're usually the ones that while someone's preaching, they're taking notes and they're getting their own revelation and seeing what they see. And they're the ones who will usually walk up to the pastor at the end and say, hey, this is what I saw. And it can come off as though they're trying to point out something that was missed. That's not their intention. Their intention is they want to further the body. They want things to be better. The next time pastor preaches that or someone else preaches that, then they want things to be better next time. Not that they weren't better, but the more knowledge. Right. Prefers teaching believers than engaging in evangelism. They're the type of people that wouldn't go off to Wendy's to evangelize or anything like that, but they're the ones that when people get saved, then, okay, let's teach them how to be Christians, or let's teach people how to evangelize. That's what they feel more comfortable doing. 13, feels Bible study is foundational for the operation of all gifts. How can a prophet prophesy accurately unless they have a solid understanding of the Bible? That's the way they feel. Unless your everything is rooted in the Word, how can you get things right? How can you know what you're talking about? Which is very true. Solves problems by starting with scriptural basis. Is intellectually sharp. Is self-disciplined. They're usually the people that will sit down for hours and they set goals. Unlike myself, I don't set any goals, but that's my dad. Is emotionally controlled. Their mood swings usually look like this. I'm mad, I'm happy, I'm upset. I'm sleepy. I've been dead for 4 years now. The only time that you'll usually see a rise out of them is you taught that incorrectly. That's not what that word means. You know, that's usually, but they're usually very even. They're usually very, very straight lined. 18, has a select circle of friends. 19, has strong convictions and opinions based on investigation of facts. And 20, believes truth to be the intrinsic power of change. Let's run through these problem areas real quick, and then I got one more thing I want to say, and then we'll be done. Teacher problem areas. Tends to neglect the principal application of truth. They're typically the people that just say, here's the truth, now run with it. And that drives exhorters crazy because exhorters want, okay, you taught me what to do, now give me examples, teach me how to do that. Don't just give me words, don't just give me this, but let me run with it. Give me an application, give me something to do, give me some homework. Right. But they're like, hey, here's the truth, go. Is slow to accept viewpoints of others because they always think that they're right because they've done all the study, and you have to convince them that there's another way to look at things. I don't want to say they're wrong, because they might not be. Tends to develop pride on intellectual ability. Number four, tends to be legalistic and dogmatic. Being right is important to a teacher, because why teach if you're not going to be right? Why teach something that's incorrect? And number five is easily sidetracked by new interests. Now, allow me to say this, is as we're talking about the gifts, I think that it's important that not only do we look at how we are motivated and how our personalities work within our gifts and how the Lord has made us up, because that's all these motivational gifts are, is what the Lord has naturally put in you. The Bible says in 2 Peter that God has put everything that you need to live a godly life already in you. And that's what these gifts are. It is the how you are hardwired, how you receive information, how you give information, how you respond to people, and how you allow people to respond to you. And so I think it's important that we look at not just the motivation of these two gifts especially, because these two gifts, if you prophesy and your motivation is off, your heart is off, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with other people, if that is incorrect, that's off, maybe you've been hurt, maybe you've been isolated, maybe you've been you've set yourself apart, then the way that you see things and the way that you teach is going to be off. There was a gentleman that I knew at the last church I was at who had a great prophetic gift, and this was very much his personality. And anytime that he would get a word from the Lord, the word of the Lord would typically be this. This is what it would be. Don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I care about you and I'm with you at all times? But because of his own hurt, he would put that through the filter of his own heart, and it would come out, don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I'm with you? You see what I'm saying? And so there's a huge difference. And so it comes out of your hurt. And you've got to allow love to be that filter. Not that hurt. Because if you take your teaching as a teacher and you bathe that in love, then everybody's going to benefit. If you take a word that you get or something that you see or something that you feel and you bathe that in love and you allow the Lord to use that and take that and just put it in what I would call the dryer of love, just go around and around and around. If you allow the Lord to use that, then there, you can't go wrong. It's going to benefit somebody. And I think that's important because if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14 is where we talk about especially the spiritual gifts or the manifestation gifts. Right smack in the middle is 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. None of our motivational gifts, none of our any gifts, whether they're office or whatever they may be, none other of the gifts matter if we're not bathed in love. If we're not motivated by love. They've got to be bathed in love. I'm going to finish with that, but allow me to say this. It's our heart as the teaching team that you don't just get some good information during these 5-6 weeks. It's our heart that you find out who God's created you to be. So that tonight, if you found out, hey, okay, well, I'm a prophetic person. That's who I am. That's why I've been harsh. That's why I've hurt some people with my words. Or I'm a teacher. That's why I love to do that. That's why I love to sit for hours and study. We don't want you just to say, oh, I found out who I am. We want you to say, yes, we found out who you are. You found out who you are. Congratulations. But if you are a prophetic person, then tonight you need to begin to pray about coming on Tuesday nights for prayer meeting. You need to begin to see if what the road is to being on the prayer team up here and ministering to people and praying for people. If you're a teacher, then tonight you need to not wait. You need to not put it off on hold. If any of this registered with you and you said, that's who I am, then you need to find Pam tonight and say, what teaching assignments do you need? Where do I belong? Let me get involved. Because like I said, faith without works is 100% dead. You can find out that you're a prophetic person or a teacher all night long, but if you don't do something with it, there's no good. There's no good in it. And so that's why we're calling this bodybuilding, is because we want to build you, because we believe in you. That's awesome. Amen? Amen? All right. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor. That's awesome.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.